Love Under Fire, Chapter 28, Facing Our Life Record. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000 ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. This is how Daniel saw the great day when the lives of all humanity pass in review before the Judge of all the earth. The Ancient of Days is God the Father. He is the source of all being, the origin of all law, and he will preside in the judgment. And holy angels will be there as ministers and witnesses. And behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. The coming of Christ described here is not his second coming to earth. He comes to the Ancient of Days in heaven to receive a kingdom, which will be given him when his work as mediator is done. It is this coming, and not his second advent to the earth, that was to take place at the end of the 2,300 days in 1844. Our great high priest enters the Holy of Holies to carry out his last priestly service on our behalf. In the earthly symbolic service, only those whose sins were transferred to the sanctuary had a part in the Day of Atonement. So in the great final atonement and investigative judgment, the only cases considered are of those who profess to be the people of God. The judgment of the wicked is a separate work at a later time. Judgment must begin at the house of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. The record books in heaven will determine the judgment's decisions. The book of life contains the names of all who have ever entered the service of God. Jesus told his disciples, "Rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." Paul speaks of his fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Daniel declares that God's people will be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. And John the Revelator says that only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life will enter the city of God. Luke chapter 10, verse 20, Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. In a book of remembrance, God has recorded the good deeds of those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. Every temptation resisted, every evil overcome, every word of pity expressed, every act of sacrifice, every sorrow endured for Christ's sake is recorded. You number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, Psalm 56, verse 8. Secret motives. There is a record also of people's sins. God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. For every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Secret motives appear in the record, for God will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Next to each name in the books of heaven is entered every wrong word, every selfish act, every unfulfilled duty, and every secret sin. Heaven sent warnings or reproofs neglected, wasted moments, the influence exerted for good or for evil, with its far-reaching results, are all listed by the recording angel. The standard of judgment. The law of God is the standard in the judgment. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, James chapter 2, verse 12. Those considered worthy will have part in the resurrection of the just. Jesus said, "Those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead are children of God, being children of the resurrection. Those who have done good will come out from the grave to the resurrection of life. Luke chapter 20, verses 35 and 36, New Revised Standard Version. John chapter 5, verse 29. The righteous dead will not be raised until after the judgment that accounts them worthy of the resurrection of life. So they will not be present in person when God examines their records and decides their cases. Jesus will stand as their lawyer to plead their cases before God. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, and chapter 7, verse 25. As the books of record are opened in the judgment, the lives of all who have believed on Jesus come in review before God. Beginning with those who first lived on the earth, our advocate presents the cases of each generation after the other. Every name is mentioned, every case investigated. Names are accepted, names rejected. When any have sins remaining on the books of record, unrepented of and unforgiven, their names will be blotted out of the book of life. The Lord declared to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book." Exodus chapter 32, verse 33. All who have truly repented and by faith have claimed the blood of Christ as their atoning sacrifice have had pardon entered in the books of heaven. Since they have become partakers of the righteousness of Christ, and their characters are found to be in harmony with the law of God, their sins will be blotted out, and they will be accounted worthy of eternal life. The Lord declares, "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus, the divine intercessor, asks that all who have overcome through faith in his blood be restored to their Eden home and crowned as joint heirs with himself to the former dominion. Micah chapter 4, verse 8. Christ now asks that God's plan in our creation be carried into effect as if we had never fallen. He asks not only for pardon and justification for his people, but for a share in his glory and a seat with him on his throne. While Jesus is pleading for the subjects of his grace, Satan accuses them before God. He points to the record of their lives, their defects of character, their unlikeness to Christ, and to all the sins he has tempted them to commit. Because of these, he claims them as his subjects. Jesus does not excuse their sins, but he shows their repentance and faith. Claiming forgiveness for them, he lifts his wounded hands before the Father, saying, "I have graven them on the palms of my hands." The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Psalm 51, verse 17. The Lord rebukes Satan. And to the accuser he says, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Zechariah chapter 3, verse 2. Christ will clothe his faithful ones with his own righteousness, that he may present them to his Father, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. This is how they will experience the complete fulfillment of the new covenant promise. "I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. In those days and in that time," says the Lord, "the iniquity of Israel shall be sought, but there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, but they shall not be found. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem." Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, chapter 50, verse 20, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 3. The blotting out of sins. The work of the investigative judgment and blotting out of sins will take place before the second coming of Jesus. In the symbolic service, the high priest came out and blessed the congregation. In the same way, when his work as mediator is over, Christ will appear apart from sin for salvation. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. In removing the sins from the sanctuary, the priest confessed them on the head of the scapegoat. Christ will place all these sins on Satan, the instigator of sin. The scapegoat was sent away into the wilderness, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 22. Satan, bearing the guilt of sins he has caused God's people to commit, will be confined to the ruined earth for 1,000 years, and then will suffer the penalty of fire that will destroy the wicked. In this way, the plan of redemption will be complete when sin is finally eradicated. At the appointed time. At the appointed time, the close of the 2,300 days in 1844, the work of investigation and blotting out of sins began and continues now. Sins that we do not repent of and forsake will not be blotted out of the books of record. Angels of God witnessed each sin and registered it. We may deny our sin, hide it from father, mother, wife, children, and associates, but it is laid bare before heaven. God is not deceived by appearances. He makes no mistakes. Those who are corrupt in heart may deceive others, but God reads the inner life. What a solemn thought! The mightiest conqueror on earth cannot call back the record of a single day. Our acts, our words, even our secret motives, though forgotten by us, will bear their testimony to justify or condemn. The judgment will examine the use we have made of every talent. How have we used our time, our pen, our voice, our money, our influence? What have we done for Christ in the person of the poor, the afflicted, the orphan, or the widow? What have we done with the light and truth God has given us? Only the love shown by our deeds is counted genuine. In the sight of heaven, love alone gives value to any act. Hidden selfishness revealed. Hidden selfishness stands revealed in the books of heaven. How often people have given to Satan the time, thought, and strength that belong to Christ. Professed followers of Christ are absorbed in getting worldly possessions or enjoying earthly pleasures. They sacrifice money, time, and strength for display and self-indulgence, devoting only a few moments to prayer, to searching the Scriptures, and to confessing sin. Satan invents countless schemes to occupy our minds. The arch-deceiver hates the great truths that call attention to an atoning sacrifice and an all-powerful mediator. For Satan, everything depends on diverting minds from Jesus. Those who want to share the benefits of the Savior's mediation for us should allow nothing to interfere with their duty to develop holiness in the fear of God. Instead of giving precious hours to pleasure or to money-making, they should devote time to the prayerful study of the Word of Truth. They should clearly understand the sanctuary and the investigative judgment. Everyone needs a knowledge of the position and work of our great high priest. Otherwise, it will be impossible to exercise the faith that is essential at this time. The sanctuary in heaven is the center of Christ's work for humanity. It concerns every person living on earth. It opens the plan of redemption to our view, bringing us down to the close of the conflict between righteousness and sin. The intercession of Christ. Christ's intercession for us in the sanctuary above is as essential to the plan of salvation as was his death on the cross. By his death he began that work that he ascended to complete in heaven. We must enter by faith into the sanctuary where the forerunner has entered for us. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20. There the light from the cross is reflected. There we gain a clearer insight into the mysteries of redemption. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Proverbs 28, verse 13. If those who excuse their faults could see how Satan taunts Christ with their behavior, they would confess their sins and put them away. Through defects in the character, Satan works to gain control of the whole mind. He knows that if we cherish any of our defects, he will succeed. Therefore, he constantly seeks to deceive the followers of Christ with his fatal lie that it is impossible for them to overcome. But Jesus declared to all who would follow him, My grace is sufficient for you. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. None should think their character defects are incurable. God will give faith and grace to overcome them. We are now living in the great day of atonement. While the high priest was making atonement for Israel, all were required to afflict their souls by repentance for sin. Likewise, all who want their names to be kept in the book of life should now afflict their souls before God by true repentance. There must be deep, faithful heart-searching. The frivolous spirit that so many indulge must be put away. There is earnest warfare ahead for all who want to subdue the evil tendencies that try to control the life. Everyone must be found without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. At this time, above all others, it is important for every person to heed the Savior's counsel. Watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Mark chapter 13, verse 33. The destiny of all decided. Probation closes a short time before the Lord appears in the clouds of heaven. Looking forward to that time, Christ declares, "He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work." Revelation chapter 22, verses 11 and 12. People will be planting and building, eating and drinking, all unaware that God has pronounced the final decision in the sanctuary above. Before the flood, after Noah entered the ark, God shut him in and shut the ungodly out. But for 7 days the people continued their pleasure-loving life and mocked the warnings of judgment. The Savior says, "So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Silently, as unnoticed as the midnight thief, the hour will come that marks the settling of everyone's destiny. Watch, therefore, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping." Matthew chapter 24, verse 39, Mark chapter 13, verses 35 and 36. Those who grow weary of watching and turn to the attractions of the world are in a dangerous condition. While the businessman is absorbed in pursuing profit, while the pleasure lover is seeking indulgence, while the daughter of fashion is arranging her adornments, it may be in that hour the judge of all the earth will pronounce the sentence, "You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting." Daniel chapter 5, verse 27.